This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa wala. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to A Juz a Day. Today we are covering the 17th juz of the Quran. The 17th juz of the Quran is the juz that has two very powerful, very beautiful surahs, Suratul Anbiya and Suratul Hajj. Surah Anbiya is surah number 21. Suratul Hajj is surah number 22. Surah Anbiya, the meaning of Surah Anbiya is the surah of the prophets. And what we will learn in this surah, the surah of the prophets, is some characteristics of prophets from the beginning of time to the last prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will learn how the prophets had the same central message. Zakat khair, brother Amir, thank you very much. Barakallahu fiqh. The same central message, that is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the prophets throughout time, and the main prophet that we will discuss today is Ibrahim alayhi salam. In both surahs, he has a prominent role. Also, how the Quran speaks about the topic of leadership. The prophets were leaders for mankind, but there is some things to be considered when it comes to leadership, and we'll speak about that. We'll speak about the dua of prophets, how the prophets made these beautiful duas that the Quran mentions. And these duas that the prophets would make serve as an example for us to make dua when we are in difficult times ourselves. And of course, at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and how he is sent as a mercy to mankind. The next surah is Surah Hajj, that speaks about Hajj, not the fiqh of Hajj, not the rituals of Hajj. That was discussed in Surah number 2, Surah Baqarah, but the spirit of the Hajj and the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that is Al-Hajj. And how the Hajj reminds us of the Day of Judgment, how Hajj is a reminder of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, how Hajj came to be, and how it is so closely related to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and how our practice of our religion is really a way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the way of your father Ibrahim, as the Quran says at the very end. It speaks about other miscellaneous topics that relate to submitting to Allah, but the conclusion is when Allah gives a very beautiful example about worshiping Him and recognizing Him, and concludes with the passage that talks about the way of Ibrahim. So all those things are today. Let's get cracking, inshallah, with that. We have Surah Al-Anbiya. Surah Al-Anbiya begins, it talks about the prophets. That's the Nabi is a prophet. Anbiya is the plural of the word prophets. It begins by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ That the people's the time of reckoning has drawn near for mankind, yet they are heedless and they turn away. مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ مُحْدَثٍ Whenever any fresh admonition comes to them from their Lord, they listen to it, but do not take it seriously. لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ Their hearts are distracted and forgetful. And this is an interesting thing. The Quran says the reason for us as humans not being concerned about the Day of Judgment is our hearts are distracted. لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ It is something like they are occupied with something else. Some other stuff is keeping us busy and taking up our attention and causing us to forget that the Day of Judgment is imminent. SubhanAllah. This is the introduction in the surah. And it relates to the idea of prophets, because the job of the prophets is to warn about the Day of Judgment. Every prophet would warn about the Day of Judgment. And that is how it links with the theme of the surah. The prophets, as Allah describes, they had received criticism. They were asked, people would say, is not this man a mortal like you? Will you succumb to magic with your eyes open? This is a criticism the prophets would face. You know, you're just mere mortals. How are you so special that you claim to have revelation from God? The response Allah mentions about the prophets is that the prophets are the ones Allah chose. قَالَ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ الْقَوْلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. My Lord knows every word spoken in the heavens and on the earth. He is the one who knows. He is the one who sees. He is the one who hears. He is the one who chooses, who conveys his message on his behalf. This is not a person's choice themselves. The prophets, Allah mentions about them that they were called, many names. They were called names like Bal huwa sha'ir, he is a poet. Bal qalu adghathu ahlam, these things that he says are just confusing dreams. Bal iftarahu, he's making it up. All of these things are criticisms that Quraysh would make of the Prophet ﷺ. Now Allah will describe who the prophets are. He says, well, the prophets are مَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Messengers we sent before you were men at whom we had sent revelation. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. As the people of book, if you do not know this. The Quraysh, Allah responds to them by saying that the people before who had scripture, they will tell you how the prophets are and how they receive revelation and share revelation. Okay, this is strange for the people of Makkah because they have never seen a prophet before, but it's not strange to other faith traditions like the Jewish tradition. It was not strange for them at all. So Allah says, ask them how prophets are. But Allah says they were men of revelation. They were also men who lived and died. Okay, they were men who, as Allah says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَاهُمْ جَسَدًا لَا يَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامَ وَمَا كَانُوا خَالِدِينَ. We did not give them bodies that needed no food, nor were they to live forever. It's not like they were superhumans. For a person to be a prophet does not necessitate that they fly in the sky and do all sorts of magical stuff, you know, that is just absolutely unfathomable for a normal human. No, they were actually humans. They would eat, they would drink, they lived and they died just like humans did, or just like humans do. The difference is that they were chosen by Allah and they conveyed the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the difference between the prophets, all the prophets previously, and the Prophet as well, between them and humans. Allah says that also the prophets of Allah, they are the ones who Allah says we fulfilled our promise to them. Okay, meaning Allah did not let the prophets just call a people and let them disappoint or let them become disappointed. Indeed, Allah would make sure that the prophets their job was fulfilled, and He took responsibility of that. And that was that's a threat. That's a historical fact, and also a threat to Quraysh that if you keep opposing this prophet, then that will be the end of you. The Prophet ﷺ will be supported by Allah and he will prevail. And that is exactly what happened over time. But this is the Quran is not just like Allah is not making a threat just for the sake of making a threat. He's actually trying to, invite them. He's saying, look, this is what happened historically. People oppose the prophets, but Allah would make sure his prophets prevail. This is a prophet as well, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He will prevail as well. So change your ways. لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. We have revealed a book that has a reminder for you. It is your reminder. Won't you understand? This book is talking to you, trying to convince you. So don't ignore it. Don't let the reminder fall on deaf ears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how the prophets had a unified message. The message of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The message of that Allah's oneness has to be acknowledged, recognized, and then worshipping Allah on this basis of oneness. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ It is not in play that we created the heavens and the earth and all that lies between them. If had he wished to find a pastime, or had we wished to have find a pastime, we would have surely found it in that which is with us, if such had been our will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the central message of the prophets is the oneness of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the one who brought this whole cosmos into existence so that we can recognize him and worship him. It was not just done for like as a play or as a joke or as like a trick. No, it's done so that we can recognize Allah and worship Allah. The creation was not in jest. Also, Allah mentions how there is no other true God besides him. You know, أَمِتَّخَذُوا آلِيَةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ هُمْ يُنْشِرُونَ Have they taken deities from earth who can bring the dead to life? Like other gods, can they bring the dead to life? He says, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِيَةً Had there been more than one God in the earth, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِيَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا Had that been the case, the earth and the sky, the universe would be in ruins, completely ruined, because as another part of Quran says, لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَاهٍ بِمَا خَلَقْ Both, like, you know, if there were two gods, each god would take whatever he had created, and then وَلَا عَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ Both of them would have started fighting each other. So this world would have been a perpetual state of conflict, not humans, like all of like the creation of these gods, you know, humans and other non-human entities. Whereas the world and the cosmos, specifically the universe, is in perfect harmony. It works or moves like clockwork. It is, you know, in perfect sync. So it is something that the fact that it is in such perfect harmony tells you that there can only be one creator of this, system of this perfect creation. Because had there been more than one, then the creation would have been in chaos and constantly at odds with each other. So it's a beautiful logical proof of why logically it would be impossible for there to be more than one God. There has to be one originator, creator, sustainer, the one and true God who is dominant over everything, because the harmony and the beautiful existence alludes to that. And had it been more than one, it would have been not harmonious. It would have been a constant state of chaos. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that messengers conveyed the same message. Ayah number 25. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا Excuse me. فَاعْبُدُونَ We have sent, or we sent all messengers before you with this revelation. There is no deity save me, so worship me alone. All the prophets of Allah had the same message. The central message of the prophets is the oneness of Allah. So now the Quran is trying to show the people of Quraysh, firstly, and all of us, secondly, that the Prophet ﷺ is a prophet. He is a prophet like all the prophets before, human being who's going to eat and live and die. And him, like all the prophets before, said the same thing. La ilaha illa ana. There's only one God to worship, and that is Allah. And their evidences are from scripture, and their evidences are outside the scripture in the universe. In and around us, the observing of the universe is one of the evidences that all the prophets before would preach and say. All the prophets before rejected the idea that there could be a son or a child of God. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا سُبْحَانَهُ بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ They say that the All-Merciful has taken a son. Glory be to him. They are only his honored servants. The one you claim is the son of God is nothing but an extremely honored, extremely revered, servant of Allah, a chosen prophet of Allah, but not a son of God. Allah is not in his creation. He is above his creation. He's not a member of the world and the things that he had created. He is the creator of those things. And that is what Allah says, Subhanahu wal ibadum mukramun. He says, he provides examples, of how the prophets would use, or how the ayat of Allah that are outside the scripture, ayat of Allah that are outside the Quran, that is part of understanding the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs in the creation. And that was the message of the prophets. The prophets would preach this, this is what the Prophet himself also preaches. What is this? أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا. What are these beautiful signs? Do those who deny the truth not see that the heavens and the earth were joined together and then we split them asunder? And that we had made everything out of water. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Will they still not believe? This is a beautiful a sign from Allah. That look at how the sky and the earth were, how Allah began the process of creation and brought them into existence, how he causes rain to fall on the earth, right? One of the interpretations of فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا is that the earth was barren and then rain would fall and then there's water on it. We know that the earth is the only known place that we have potable water, right? Like there's traces of water in other planets, but it's not necessarily potable. It's not, you can't necessarily drink it and survive on it. The earth, on the other hand, has reserves and reserves of potable water and a water cycle, right? And everything that is on the earth is largely composed of water. All creation is largely made up of water. Human beings are like 70% water or something. So this is وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Such an amazing sign. The unity in Allah's creation. All of Allah's creation has one unifying characteristic. That means that the one who made them is one, right? The unity of worship of Allah is to be found in the unifying characteristics of the creation, how they are all made from water. أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Will they not believe? More examples. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِي. We have set firm mountains upon the earth, lest it should sway under them. How the mountains act as stabilizers. And وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا فِجَاجًا سُبُلًا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. Passages for paths, so that they may find their way. How the earth isn't just isn't just rough terrain. It is a variety of terrains, easy to traverse and a mountainous, difficult to traverse. All of that is there. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. So people can find their way and prosper on the earth. وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا. We have made the sky a well-secured canopy. SubhanAllah, we know that the sky that is above us is it's a protective casing, the magnetic field that the earth, the poles create, the rotation of the earth creates, and that's essentially what the sky represents. That protects us from all the different things that could fall from the atmosphere, fall from space into the earth. Anything that comes through the atmosphere literally just burns away. And that is, subhanAllah, the sky, saqfam, something that's above us. That's the sky, that's the atmosphere. Saqfam mahfuza, a very well-secured canopy. An amazing blessing of Allah, that if it wasn't there, right, then our life would just cease to exist. Like one asteroid will come and just knock us all out. But that doesn't happen because of the protective canopy that Allah has made for us. وَهُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. Yet they turn away from our signs. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرِ. What Allah is saying is that your mere existence, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, the fact that we even exist is because of the system that Allah has created, is so unique that allows us to exist, but we take it for granted. We take it so for granted. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. It is He who created the night and the day, the sun and the moon, each gliding in its orbit, not just for us to exist, but now we have a system to thrive in, right? A system to build a civilization out of. A daily schedule, a yearly calendar, and keeping records and history, how we build our civilization. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables that by how we are in orbit of the sun and how the moon is in orbit of us. Subhanallah. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَقٍ يَسْبَحُونَ وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ. It says, we have not granted everlasting life to any human before you. If that's what Quraysh wants in a prophet, no prophet has ever lived forever. Every prophet has lived and died. أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. If you, صلى الله عليه وسلم, were to die, Muhammad, if you were to die, will they live forever? That's a rhetorical question. The answer, of course, is no. No one is going to live forever. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul shall taste death. Every person will die. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. We shall test you with both good and evil circumstances. فِتْنَةً as a trial. وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. A moment to pause here. Okay. As I mentioned, the theme of the surah is the prophets, who they are, how the prophet is a prophet, and like their central message, how they are patient in the face of tests, and how they make dua. Right, all about like just prophets, they're what makes a prophet and how they are role models for us. Now look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first tells us about the signs in the creation that is a way for us to recognize that Allah is one and uniquely one. Okay, the signs in the creation that would certainly rule out the possibility of a second God, and then would then give us conviction that when there is one and truly one God alone, He is the one to be worshipped because of this magnificent world that we exist in, this magnificent system that He's built for us. Okay, that is the message of the prophets, uniqueness of Tawheed. But also in that is the idea of that the world is or life is a test. Just as certain we can see how there are beautiful things around us, the sun, the moon, the sky, the mountains, all these things mentioned in the passage, just as those things are certainties and facts of life, also a certainty and fact of life is there is going to be good and bad. There's going to be good and evil circumstances. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put us through that this is the nature of life. You cannot escape it. Just like you cannot escape the sun and the moon, the sky, you're part of that system. Part of that system also is you are going to go through circumstances that are good and bad. And the reason for them, for going through these circumstances is fitnatan, as a trial. It's a test to see, do you understand the purpose of your creation? Are you able to submit to the magnificence of the Creator? It's easy to say that when everything is hunky-dory, but it's hard to do that when stuff is going badly. And that is one of the beautiful connections here, how the tests and trials is just like a part of life, just as the other things that Allah is describing around us are a part of life, is a part of the creation. Subhanallah. And now, as the surah is about the prophets, Allah will talk about how the prophets went through the most tough trials, but they showed us how to succeed in the trials, how to get through the difficulties of life. They show that to us. So when we go through something difficult, we look at their example and we try to emulate their behavior. Okay, Musa and Harun, alayhim as-salam, are mentioned first as those who are going through who are mentioned here. Let me just find where that went. All right, there. Yes. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ الْفُرْقَانَ وَضِيَاءً وَذِكْرًا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Ayah 48. We gave Moses and Aaron the criterion of right and wrong, and a light and a reminder for the righteous. And Musa alayhi salam, we've covered his story. And we've seen how frequently he's mentioned in the Quran. Yesterday we couldn't get time with Surah Taha, but almost all of Surah Taha was about Musa alayhi salam. Okay? And how amazing Musa alayhi salam, how difficult the stuff he had to go through, first with the Pharaoh, then with Bani Israel, and the entire time Musa alayhi salam is a personification of patience and submitting to Allah's decree. Subhanallah, right? That is who he was. So Allah mentions him first when talking about prophets and their patience, because he was the man, right? Because he had to go through so many difficulties. He showed what patience was. So Allah begins by mentioning him. الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ the ones who fear the Lord in the unseen and also dread the hour of the judgment. The reminder that Musa was given, Allah calls it the Furqan, the criterion. Dhiya, it is a light, it's a reminder, right? The revelation that Allah gave to Musa alayhi salam was Allah's speech as well, but people corrupted it. And in it was a reminder for the righteous. Just like the Quran is a reminder for the righteous. The ones who really will benefit from it are the ones who have taqwa, those who fear their Lord. There is a fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an acknowledgement that Allah is our creator, and then there is a fear that this majestic creator who has brought everything into existence, he is dominant and mighty, and his punishment is to be feared. وَهُمْ مِنَ السَّاعَةِ مُشْفِقُونَ, dreading the hour, the day of judgment. That is like the fuel that fuels the engine of taqwa. Okay, that's not all taqwa is about, but that's the fuel, right? And having a sense of dread against the punishment of Allah, or the threat of Allah's punishment, fearing standing in front of Allah on the day of judgment, what is going to be in my book? How am I going to be interrogated? I hope I'm not interrogated, right? That is the fuel, and that's what Allah mentions there. هذا ذكر مبارك أنزلناه أفأنتم له منكرون. This is a blessed reminder that we have revealed to you. Will you then reject it? Next person that Allah mentions is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ayah number 51. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. Before this, we gave Abraham his guidance and we knew him well. Today, one of the people that we'll spend some time discussing is our father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. What does he say? He said to his father and his people, what are these images that you are so devoted to? These idols that you have, you know, concocted? What are these things? They said, we found our fathers worshipping these idols. So he said, indeed, you and your fathers have clearly been misguided. You know, you're wrong. These are not gods. This is not a way to God. These things haven't done anything, right? They haven't created anything. They don't have majesty over anything or power over anything. Okay. Now the people are like, wait, are you joking or are you serious? Okay. Ibrahim al-Salam was dead serious, but he was a young man, right? So they didn't take him seriously. He said, your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth who created them. Again, you see how the Prophet Ibrahim is using the evidence of the majesty of the creation to talk about the creator. And he is the one who thus should be worshipped. And I am a witness to that. وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ. I will devise a plan against your deities after you have gone away and turn your backs. Interesting point to know, by the way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ibrahim, when he introduces him, he says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ. Rushd. Rushd is guidance, but also good sense. You know, somebody who is his rationale and calculated. You know, that is a person who is a Rashid. You know, someone who is like not doing things without thinking. Okay? Well thought out. Now, Allah, very interestingly, no other prophet is actually mentioned in this way in the Quran, that Allah gave him his rushd. And the reason why, wallahu alam, Ibrahim is mentioned as such here, is that he is going to do something that may seem to the uninitiated as not being rational and not being very well calculated. Maybe something that's emotional, but to the contrary, it is extremely, extremely well thought out. And what he's going to do now is, you know, not sanctioned in our Sharia. Again, this is something we have to understand. The Quran is mentioning history, not to say whatever is mentioned in history, you can do today. Okay? That's not the message of the Quran. The Sharia of the Prophet ﷺ has rules and regulations, and he ﷺ has clarified them to us. Part of those rules is we're not allowed to insult or destroy the religion or gods of other people, nor destroy their deities. Okay? That is, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Do not insult the religion of others. فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Thus pushing them further away from Islam, because then they would then say bad things about Allah out of animosity, right? So that is an important principle in our faith. But now Ibrahim al-Assam has done something historically that Allah will mention, and he does it for a very well calculated purpose, and he did it. Doesn't mean now that could be applied in today's time. Quick important note, because a lot of people misunderstand this. Now, Ibrahim al-Salam, what does he do? He breaks the idols into small pieces, except for the biggest of them, so that they may return to it for inquiry. Right? لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ. Now, when they come back, what the part the Quran is assuming you know is that these people of Ibrahim would leave their city for a couple of days for a big celebration, and then would come return to their city after a couple of days of celebrating outside of the city. So when they had left, at that point, Ibrahim alayhi salam went and did this to their idol. So when they came back, they're like, who did this to our idols? إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. That person must be a wrongdoer. They said, well, we heard Abraham, a young man called Abraham, talking about them. So they said, bring him so that we can see what he has done. Let's bring him to court. They asked him, oh Ibrahim, did you do this? أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِأَهْلِيَتِنَا. He said, well, actually, it was the biggest one. بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا. They see the big one right there? He did it. I didn't do it. Right? فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْطِقُونَ. Ask them if they can speak. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam, the language will tell you he is actually, he's not like lying. The language will tell you he is admitting he did it, but he's trying to make a point that the point is فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ, ask them in the plural, even though there's one idol left, right? So clearly that tells you Ibrahim al-Islam is not saying that the idols did it. Of course, he knows that they know the idols didn't do it, as they would say, right? لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْطِقُونَ. You know that they cannot speak, O Abraham, right? So he knows that they know this. And when he's saying to them, look and ask them, not ask him, ask them. He is implying to them that, yeah, I did it, but go ask them. If you, like your gods that you worship, go ask them. So subhanAllah, that, is not like Ibrahim al-Salam obviously lying. He's using this as a way of making an argument of proving his case. Excuse me, one second. I have a bit of there we go. Sorry about that. So that Ibrahim al-Salam says that now, as he says this, and he's made his point to the people very clear that look, you guys are so trapped in worshiping these idols, you can't even recognize that these idols are not real gods. And then you are thinking that they are taking the place of God, whereas in reality, they can't even defend themselves or say anything or do anything. فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They turned to themselves and they said, yeah, he's right. You are wrong for worshiping these idols. He's right. But then arrogance. But then the desire to not look wrong, the desire to not look small by admitting that you are wrong. Subhanallah, that is a toxic emotion. Humanukisu ala ruusihim. They turned on their heads and they said, "No, Ibrahim, you know they can't do anything." Ibrahim al-Salam said, "Why do you worship these idols if they can't harm you or benefit you?" Right? So they, instead of saying, yeah, you know, he's right, said, you know what, this is an argument that we cannot win. فَحَرِّقُوهُ. قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ. Burn him and help your deities if you are resolved to do so. وَانْصُرُوا آلِيَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. If you're resolved to do something. And this is the way of the people who are, as the Quran describes, the people not of logic and reason, the people whose arguments are very faulty, very flawed, they resort to violence, they resort to violent means, whereas the people who are on the truth, they resort to logic and reasoning. They resort to talking about these matters in a way where the strength of the argument wins, not the force that it is being physically exerted to tip the scales. And that's a beautiful thing we should learn. That, you know, like, فَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةِ, like the Quran says, Allah has the, you know, the perfect proof, meaning the truth is powerful and its arguments can be made powerfully and dominantly without the need to resort to violence of any type of sort. But they did put Ibrahim al-Assam in the fire, and Allah said to the fire as a miracle, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim, be cool and a means of safety for Abraham. And that was done, and Ibrahim al-Assam did not get affected at all by the fire, and he was very, very calm, and in fact very cool in that fire. And that is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is not a normal occurrence. A miracle for us is something that breaks the laws of normal life, that breaks the laws of nature, of physics. That is a miracle. خَارِقٌ لِلْعَادَ, like this definition goes. And this is one of those. خَارِقٌ لِلْعَادَ. It breaks the norm that only can happen to a prophet of Allah. And that was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah protected him through that miracle. They wanted to harm him, but Allah says, we made them al-akhsarin, the lowest. Okay, we saved him and his and Lot, his nephew Lut, and to a place, to a land that we blessed, and we gave him Ishaq and Yaqub as a bestowal of Allah's grace, and all of those were righteous progeny. Subhanallah. The idea here is that Allah tested Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? Very difficult test. He went through the test where his family disowned him, his city disowned him, and people tried to kill him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a test that very, very, very few, if almost no one, can bear. Ibrahim al-Salam bore that test and passed that test with flying colors. And as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him and blessed his family and his kids and grandkids. And he made them leaders. And that is what happens when a person is tested and they succeed in the test. Allah elevates them in this life and the next. And that is one of the things that, you know, we said that the creation, it's tests and trials. Life is a whole bunch of tests and trials. And that is what the prophets show, how to deal with tests and trials. And when you go and deal with the tests and trials in the right way, Allah elevates. And that's what he does with the prophets and Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he talks about leadership, how Ibrahim alayhi salam's progeny were given leadership. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّا, we made them leaders. Okay, but what is leadership, right? Is it just like a cheap term that's thrown around? No, it is. He says, يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, they are leaders who guide by our command. That is a sign of leadership. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ, we reveal to them the doing of good. Number two, that's what leadership is, doing good. وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ, establishing the prayer. وَإِيْتَا الزَّكَاةِ, number three and number four, giving zakat. وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ, and they were alone in worshipping us. These are the characteristics of those who are leading. يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا is by the command of Allah. It is by the words of Allah. And it is the doing of good. It's not just like saying some fancy words. It's the doing of good. It's the establishment of prayer. It's the helping of the poor, the eradication of poverty. Well, that's what zakat, by the way, is. إِيْتَا is zakat. So subhanAllah, that is what leadership is, and that's what Allah refers to when he speaks about the kids of Ibrahim. Then he mentions a whole bunch of prophets. Lut alayhi salam, okay? Nuh alayhi salam. Both of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, were in difficult situations, right? But both of them, najaynahu, we delivered him from the city which practiced abomination. Nuh alayhi salam, we saved him and his household from a great distress. They went through difficulty, trial, extended trial. Nuh alayhi salam for 950 years. Lut alayhi salam, very, very intense. Shorter, but much, very, very intense. All of these prophets went through difficulties. Allah says, look how they were patient. And then we came to their help and support. وَنَصَرْنَاهُ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ, we helped him against his people who rejected our revelations. So this is Allah, how he tests the prophets, supports the prophets. Talks about Dawood and Sulaiman. Dawood alayhi salam is the father, Sulaiman is the son. Dawood and Sulaiman, David and Solomon, who both passed judgment on the field into which some people's sheep had strayed and grazed at night, and we bore witness to their judgment. فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا Sulaiman, we gave Solomon the right understanding of the matter. This was a test for the Prophet of Allah, Dawood. He passed the wrong judgment, and his son passed the right judgment. Is he going to be arrogant and not accept that from his son? No, he was had the humility to accept that his son knew better. Subhanallah. And he accepted the decree of Suleiman, and that was that was his test, and he passed that test. Suleiman alayhi salam's test was not of difficulty. He wasn't put in the fire. Suleiman alayhi salam's test was أَتَيْنَهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَسَخَّرْنَا مَعَ دَاوُدَ الْجِبَالِ. He was given the birds, the mountains and birds used to celebrate our praises with David, and we had the power to do this. And we taught him the making of coats of mail to protect him in battle. Sulaiman alayhi salam had the test of extreme power and extreme dominance. He had stormy winds under his control. تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا وَكُنَّا بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَالِمِينَ, among many other things. And that included control over the devils who would dive in the sea to perform tasks for him, dive in the sea to fetch pearls and perform tasks for him. The test of Dawood was of being tested by, he made a mistake and his son corrected him. And he had the test, he had the humility to accept. And that was his test, and that's how he passed it. So Suleiman alayhi salam had the test of power and dominance. And he was tested that way, is he going to be fair and is he going to be thankful? And he was fair and he was extremely thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that he had bestowed upon him. Dawood alayhi salam also had a lot of a beautiful voice, and he would recite the Psalms, the Zabur, and the birds and the mountains would, you know, sing with him. And that was like a test, like, you know, beauty is a test, and being admired is a test, and he passed that test. In fact, like the Prophet says, Dawood alayhi salam, the best fast of all fasts is the fast of Dawood, who would fast one day and not fast the other day. Fast one day, not fast the other day. And that was how he expressed his gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best tahajjud was the tahajjud of Dawood, who would pray at night, you know, and he would sleep a little bit, then wake up in the third of the night, pray a little bit, and then sleep a little bit, and then get up for Fajr. So you see how these prophets were tested, not all the same way. Some with difficulty, some with ease, some with, harsh trials, some with excess and luxury. And all of them passed their tests of life. And that for us is the lesson, that life is going to be an up and down situation. And our test is to navigate those ups and downs, the downs with patience, the ups with gratitude and thankfulness, as demonstrated by these prophets. The Quran then speaks, the surah speaks about the dua of prophets. The next few prophets mentioned here, Ayyub and Yunus alayhi salam and Zakariya. Ayyub alayhi salam is mentioned as the one who was hurt by Job. He was hurt when he was paralyzed. He was extremely sick, but he was never ungrateful. He was never for a minute, he never for a minute doubted that Allah is the most merciful. Never for a minute questioned the wisdom of Allah. He said, "Anni masani ad-dur, I have been afflicted by great stress, and oh Allah, you're the most merciful of those who have mercy." And so Allah responded to his dua and removed what ailed him, his suffering, restored his family. And that is how Allah responds. When he responds to du'as, he responds, you know, in a manner, it's like a pouring of rain. So much goodness comes, right? And that is the response of Ayyub. We have Dhannun, Jonah, made the mistake of walking away in anger. We're humans. Again, the idea is prophets were also human beings, so they're not immune to emotions here. And he, the emotion of anger overtook Yunus alayhi salam, and then he, departed his people before he was told to depart his people. And subhanAllah, as that happened, he was punished and eventually ended up in the belly of a whale in the depths of the ocean. And at that point, فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ, in the darkness, he cried out, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, and there is no deity but you, Allah. Glory be to you. I was indeed wrong. And then Allah answered his dua. Dua of Ayyub before, dua of Yunus second. Allah answered his dua and delivered him from sorrow. The third prophet, Zakariya, who cried out to his Lord, Rabbi la tadharni fardan, don't leave me heirless, O Lord. And you're the best of heirs. You're the best of those who take care of people and their families, generation after generation. And his dua, Allah answered him, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Even though it took a long time for his dua to be answered, but Allah answered it. Ayyub's dua took a while for it to be answered, but Allah answered it. Yunus alayhi salam's dua, it was in the moment of like his lowest moment, but Allah answered it, right? And that's the thing that Allah is teaching us about this, that the Prophet's du'as, they taught us how to make du'a. Okay? They would make du'a. وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. They used to hasten to do good. Right? They used to hasten to do good. That is step before du'a. التَوَسُّلْ بِالْعَمَلْ الْخَيْرِ. To seek Allah's help by doing good. That is actually the step before du'a. Then there is the du'a. The dua is يَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا, to ask Allah in hope and fear, the two together. Hoping that Allah will give us the best. In fact, knowing Allah will give us the best and having that hope in His mercy and fearing the punishment of Allah and asking protection from the punishment of Allah. يَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. Being humble at all times. Being patient when the dua is not answered immediately. Zakariya alayhi salam didn't stop making dua after a few days. He made dua for decades. Ayyub alayhi salam didn't stop making dua after like a few days of sickness. He continued to make dua for years. And that is what the prophets are teaching us of how dua is to be made. Subhanallah, it is to be made with humbleness, humility, fearing Allah, hoping in His mercy, and not ever doubting that Allah will guarantee or Allah will grant the answer. It may take some time. But that is the test of the one making the dua. Can they be patient enough while they're making dua? Speaks about, of course, Maryam alayhi salam, ahsanat farjaha, the one who guarded her chastity. So he breathed our spirit into her and made her and her son a sign for all people. The point of all these stories of the prophets, one of the points that is very critical here about the prophets is they were one nation. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. They were all one nation, one community. And أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. I am your Lord, so worship me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that point, that ties it beautifully together. How that was a topic at the very beginning. All the prophets were sent with the same message. And Allah circles back to that point towards the very end here and says, all of them were one nation. Concludes, the surah concludes with talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Allah says about the Prophet, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Ayah 107. We have sent you forth as a mercy to all of mankind, O Prophet Sallam. The Prophet Sallam is coming to show us what it means to be a mercy, right? Not just to himself or not just to like the believers, but all of mankind. And that is who he was, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Say, innama yuha ilayya. It has been revealed to me that your God is but one God. Fahal antum muslimun. Will you submit to him? Okay. So this is a beautiful message of the surah. The prophets, their message, particularly how they were tested and their patience. And we learn from their tests. Patience in tough times, gratitude in good times. Dua in tough times and in good times. And being patient while not seeing the response to the dua. That was the theme of Surah Anbiya. We go to Surah Al-Hajj, the surah after that. It speaks about Hajj, how Hajj is a beautiful, it's a pillar of Islam, and how it's a beautiful celebration of the legacy of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. It reminds us of the Day of Judgment, because there's so many people. Subhanallah, if you go for Hajj, you see people everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's people, people, people. We ask Allah to open up the Haramain for us so we can go for Umrah and Hajj. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. It begins by talking about the Day of Judgment. Ya ayyuhan nas, people, fear your Lord. The catastrophe of the last hour shall be terrible indeed. That day, when it comes, you will see things that are extraordinary, things that will not happen normally, things that are just unfathomable normally. What is that? تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. Every nursing mother will leave her baby. You know, a nursing mother, this is like the most precious thing that she has, her baby. She's holding her close, holding the baby close to her. But on the Day of Judgment, the thing is so severe. It is so devastating that the nursing mother wouldn't care about her baby, she would now be caring about herself only. Okay? وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا. Every pregnant woman will have a miscarriage or will deliver because of the stress. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. People will look like they're intoxicated. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. But they're not intoxicated. They're just walking around as if they are, you know, like this. They don't know what's happening. There's no direction. It's just chaos. All of that is a glimpse of the Day of Judgment, because وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. The severity of the punishment of Allah, the stress of it, is what causes these things. Subhanallah. We ask Allah's protection on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a beautiful example of resurrection. If you have doubt about resurrection, Allah addresses that. إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّنَ الْبَعْثِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. This surah, by the way, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ is in the very beginning, and at the very end as well, there is يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. O people, if you're in doubt about resurrection, remember that we first created you from dust. فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. This is a reference to our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay? ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. And then from a drop of sperm. This is the rest of us, right? All the other people who are born naturally, of course, they are created from a drop of sperm. ثُمَّ مِنْ عَلَقَةٍ. And then that sperm drop turns into a clotted, then it becomes a clotted form of blood. ثُمَّ مِنْ مُضْغَةٍ. مخلقة وغير مخلقة. A lump of flesh, both shaped and unshaped. لنبين لكم. So that we may manifest to you our power. ونقر في الأرحام ما نشاء. We cause what we will to stay in the womb for an appointed time. ثم نخرجكم إلى أجل مسمى ثم نخرجكم طفلا. And then we bring you forth as infants. Right? Conception, then the birth. ثُمَّ لِتَبْلُغُوا أَشُدَّكُمْ. And then you, we cause you to grow and reach full growth. You become a full adult. Okay? وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى. And some of you pass away early in life while they're adults or kids. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمُرِ. And others live out to live, to become old. And they become old, and they come so old, they become senile. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Starts to forget something, or forgets everything. Huh? SubhanAllah. So that they will know nothing of what they once knew. This is example number one. Allah is giving us an example. He's like, look, if you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot bring you back to life, consider example number one. He made you from nothing. A drop of sperm. Okay? And before that drop of sperm, you were not even there. But then the drop of sperm, from that you were created, and this amazing process of creation that Allah describes here. In each step, it is a difficult, the probability of a child being born is very low, of a child surviving is very low, yet all across these steps, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes sure that he's there to protect us. And then he brings us into life, brings us into the world, the delivery. And the delivery is one of the most difficult journeys of a human being's life. And as the child is born, they're born knowing nothing. They can't even burp themselves, right? You have to feed the baby and you have to burp the baby. Otherwise, the baby will just, you know, cough and cry because they can't burp themselves. We don't even, we know literally nothing. Then Allah causes us to become a full-grown adult. We acquire knowledge. We learn. We grow. Become strong, become wise, hopefully wise, inshallah. All of those things are we acquire by the faculties that Allah has given us. And then after the peak, we go decline again to the point where you are like a child at the end of your life. Okay, you need the help of others to perform basic tasks. You start to forget, and to the point where it's like the knowledge of like a really old person, and maybe even their behavior is exactly like a child. SubhanAllah. Well, Allah is saying, look at the life cycle that I have made for you. Look at this. If you think, don't think that you are dominant and then in control. I am in control because I have made this life cycle for you. If you don't think I can create you again, if you have doubts, that I can create you again, look at how I made you the first time. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ عَلَقَةٍ. So that's example number one. Example number two, وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً. You see the earth, dead and barren. hamida. It is like lifeless. فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ But no sooner do we send down rain upon it, اِهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ It starts to stir with activity and begins to swell and produce every kind of luxuriant vegetation. This is a place that nobody irrigated. Nobody has tilled the soil or planted a seed or taken care of that seed. No, it is by the natural process of Allah sending the rain, but the idea of dead earth being brought to life, as it happens naturally in front of our eyes, by the power and command of Allah, that's example number two. And ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ Because God is the truth, and it is He who gives life to the dead, and He has the power to do anything. And that the day of judgment is close, is bound to come. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ There is no doubt about it. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ Just like Allah brings a person into the world, He can bring them back into the world on the day of judgment. Just like the example number two, the dead earth was brought back to life, dead people will be brought back to life just as easily for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, this is the reminder. He mentions about the legacy of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam, ayah number 26. He mentions, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ We assigned to Abraham the site of the house, saying, أَلَّا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا Number one, do not associate anything with me, because the shirk is the, you know, that's a rotten theology, and you cannot build anything on it. وَطَّهِّرْ بَيْتِي And purify my house for those who circumambulate, i.e. tawaf, around the Kaaba, and those who stand upright, meaning for salah, and those who bow and prostrate. وَرُكَّعِ السُّجُودِ وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ Call mankind to the pilgrimage. They will come to you on foot and on every kind of lean camel, but every distant track. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ So that they may witness what its benefit for them. And on the appointed days, they may utter the name of God over the cattle that He has provided for them. Then eat their flesh and feed the distressed and the needy. This is Eid al-Adha. This is the Eid of al-Adha that we sacrifice these animals. Those who are on Hajj sacrifice it at Hajj, and those who are not at Hajj sacrifice it outside of Hajj as a celebration of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of the sacrifice of Ibrahim. And that animals that we sacrifice, whose life we take, is we take its life in the name of the one who gave it its life. And then we eat from it, and then we feed al-ba'is al-faqir, the distressed and the needy from that. SubhanAllah, this ayah, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِ When Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, call the people to Hajj. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, there's nobody to call for Hajj, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your job is to call and our job is to make sure people respond. So Ibrahim alayhi salam stood up on Maqam Ibrahim and called people for Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the angels and the souls of those who weren't even born. Okay? Because their souls were made by Allah before, you know, their bodies were made. And all the souls of the people are already in existence. Those were brought together. And they all responded to the call of Ibrahim by saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. That's where the talbiyah comes from. And that is what this ayah is referring to. SubhanAllah, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, look at this. He did the most difficult things in life. As a boy tossed into that fire, as a man going through all these sacrifices, is asked to leave his wife in the desert when he has a child. We'll learn later he had to sacrifice that child. And now in this old age, he has to make the Kaaba and ask people to come to Hajj. Every single test Allah put him through, he passed. And now when he makes the adhan for Hajj, he calls people for Hajj, Allah makes sure people respond, even if they're not even in existence yet. And that for us is the lesson. And when we are tested and we try our best, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure He'll do the rest. And here we see that from the example of Ibrahim. This beautiful example of Ibrahim alayhi salam, this Hajj is a mansakan. It is an appointed rite of sacrifice. Every nation had it, and for us, it is the Hajj that Ibrahim alayhi salam had initiated. So they may pronounce the name of God over the cattle that which He has provided for them. Wa ilahukum ilahu wahidun faslimu falahu aslimu. Excuse me. Washir al-mukhbitin. Your God is one God. Surrender yourselves to Him and give good news to the humble. Who are these people? الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ, whose hearts are filled with awe at the mention of God, who endure adversity with fortitude, وَالصَّابِرِينَ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُمْ, when difficult stuff happens, adversity strikes, they have patience to, you know, remain calm, to have the fortitude to not become irrational or act irrationally or say things regrettably. وَالْمُقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ, and they say their prayers regularly and they spend from what we have given them. Again, the characteristics of the believer, the one who is doing the rituals that seem very, very simple, like sacrificing an animal or paying someone to sacrifice an animal. The idea is that أُبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ, it should create in us the ritual, its spirit is to become humble. Al-Khabt is actually like a valley that is lowered. It's like a, you know, like if there's like a mountain pass, there's like a two mountains, the lower part of that valley is khabt. Like that part is the same root of this word mukhbit. So the believer, their rituals don't make them arrogant or mindless. They're just doing it because it's a habit. The ritual reminds them to improve their internal state, which is humility and humbleness. And that is expressed that when Allah's name is mentioned or the ayat are mentioned, they are, they have humility. Their hearts are tremble with that. It's expressed in the way they respond to adversity. Humility and humbleness mean nothing if you can't even be patient, right? In the face of difficult situations. And then the habits of salah, the habits of spending, all those are beautiful examples of how rituals, the spirit of the ritual is this. Allah mentions also that the spirit of the ritual is لَنْ يَنَانَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا, their flesh and blood do not reach God. It's not about the sheep or the miskeen cow, right? It's not about the blood. But what it's about is وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ, what reaches Allah is the piety, the devotion, the sincerity, the humility. That the one who's offering that, that is what Allah is looking for. That's the objective. كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَهَا لَكُمْ لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, and thus He has subjected the animals to you so you can fulfill the rites of Hajj and fulfill the rites of Udhiyya, Eid al-Adha. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and give good news to those who are doing good. If I can just take a minute to finish up the last example, please. Jazakumullah khairan. I know it's we're running at the very end of our time here. In fact, a little bit past the time. This is the surah circles back and talks about people. Began with talking about people. Oh people, if you have any doubt about resurrection. Now circles back and says, oh people, here is another example for you. Duriba mathalun fasami'u lahu, ayah number 73. Here is an example. Listen to it carefully. Okay, those that you worship or invoke other than God, لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ, cannot even create a fly, even if they were to all combine to do it. And if a fly was to snatch something away from them, they cannot recover it. And this is a very beautiful thing, because a fly dissolves its food before it sucks it in. It's kind of disgusting, but that's what it does. The food that the fly has taken from a person has now been chemically modified. Like the chemical reaction is already taking place before the fly sucks it up. SubhanAllah. So literally, you cannot recover what the fly has taken from you. وَإِن يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُهُ مِنْهُ, you cannot snatch it away from them. What is the point of this example? ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ, both are indeed weak, the seeker and the sought. Meaning, if a person is worshipping other than Allah, the thing you are worshipping is weak, and you are also weak as a human being. مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ, not no just estimate have they made of Allah. Surely God is powerful and mighty, right? اللَّهُ يَصْطَفِي مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُولًا, Allah selects messengers from both angels and from mankind. He is all hearing and seeing. He knows what lies ahead of them and what's behind them. And all things shall return to God. Concluding passage, the way of your father Ibrahim, such a beautiful passage. Listen to it, please. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا, kneel, prostrate, ارْكَعُوا, make ruku', bow down, وَاسْجُدُوا, prostrate yourselves. Make sajda. Wa'budu rabbakum. Worship your Lord. Wa'f'alu al-khayra. And do good works. La'allakum tuflihun. So that you may succeed. Look at this beautiful thing. Doing good, that is, you know, a generic thing. And worshipping Allah, that is, like, the rituals are more specific. And then another more specific ritual is this ritual of sajda and the ritual of ruku', which is salah. So it's like Allah starts with like the specific thing. Think of like these like cascading like circles, or like, you know, those Russian dolls. He starts with the inner one first. Irka'u wasjudu, the act of worshipping Allah, which is ruku' and sujood. Then the next one above that is all acts of ritual worship, sacrificing, udhiyya, hajj. Then above that, including all that, is all acts of goodness. Waf'alul khayra. Subhanallah. That is what the life of the believer is. La'allakum tuflihun. So that you may succeed. Wajahidu fillahi haqqa jihadihin. Strive for the cause of God. It is as is the right of God. Huwa ajtabakum. He chose you. And has made no burden, nothing difficult in the matter of your religion. Millata abikum Ibrahim, the faith of your father Ibrahim, the way of your father Ibrahim, the legacy of your father Ibrahim. In this, he, huwa sammakumul muslimin, he has given you the name of Muslims, chosen by Allah, chosen by or given to us by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Wafi hadha, لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ, so that the messenger may be a witness over you, and you may be witnesses over mankind. The messenger is a witness, and he has conveyed this message, and now it's your job to convey this message to all of mankind by practicing it and by preaching it. فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ, therefore say your prayers regularly and pay your zakat and hold on fast to God. He is your Lord, your Master. فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ, an excellent master and an excellent helper. Jazakumullah khair, everybody, for sticking around to the end. Sister Muwada is asking question of, there's two sajdas in this surah, correct? There is one sajda here, and there is one before that. This is the only surah that has two sajdas in it. And wallahu alam, it would be, one of the reasons of it would be because the surah speaks about Hajj and Ibrahim alayhislam's legacy. And that, like, sajda and bowing down and being humble and lowering ourselves is what the legacy of Ibrahim alayhislam is. So we ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to make sajda physically and also metaphorically in its true meaning, that we humble ourselves and lower ourselves. Barakallahu feekum. Inshallah, I'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa jazakum wa iyyakum.